Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to have you here.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. I'd like to bring up the subject of Syria. It's been around for a while, but something significant has happened, and that is that our policy seems to be changing, and, of course, we're interested to what. And what we have noticed, and others, because others have reported on, like Reuters did a little research on there, and they have indicated that all of a sudden, out of the clear blue a couple of weeks ago, we quit funneling weapons and support to the Free Syrian Army, which would be a big deal. Of course, that was a secret for a long time. Nobody knew about that because back in the days when Libya was falling, there was suspect that we were sending weapons over there, but it was always denied. But it turns out that it's conventional wisdom now to realize that we have been doing this. But the change is that we're not doing this anymore. And the big question is why? Does that mean that we're going to, you know, walk away or just what happens? So this does raise some real significant questions, and they're very interesting because it could mean a whole lot for the future of that whole area, and it will tell us a whole lot of about the direction of the new administration on how they're going to handle a most difficult country like Syria and our involvement there.
Yeah, and in a way, we're sort of reading tea leaves because these are somewhat unsourced reports. We don't know all the details, but that's really all we have is tea leaves to read. But, you know, during the campaign, now President Trump very rightly criticized the CIA's program of providing weapons to the rebels. He said, we don't know who the heck we're sending these to. And we do know that a lot of it has gone to Nusra Front, and some of it's landed in the arms of ISIS. So does this mean he's reassessing this program? We don't know.
Well, it certainly needs reassessed, and we have a few suggestions if they call us. If you get a call from the administration, please let me know if they call you, because that could be very interesting. And sometimes our viewers suggest that. Why don't you call them?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't quite work like that.
Yeah,
but if there's a serious request ever, we would welcome it. But most likely, they can figure out what we believe in rather easily by just tuning in
to the
Ron Paul Liberty Report. But I want to read a short paragraph, a couple sentences, and it's found on anti-war. And they sort of summarize what's going on in Syria. Now, I'm going to make a little fun of this, but not with anti-war and not to the author, but not only making fun about our foreign policy, but sort of, you know, make fun in the sense that this is a little bit crazy. But this is how they summarize the situation in Syria right now. I thought it tells us a lot about what we're going to sort out. And it goes, a big issue might have been that when FSA, the Free Syrian Army, formed its anti-Al-Qaeda coalition, the Nusra Front formed its own coalition to fight them. And the CIA program was arming forces in both groups, with the Nur al-Din al-Zinki faction joining the Nusra Front's coalition against the nominally moderate Islamic faction. Well, there it is. I mean, it's clear
cut. It's very simple.
You know, I keep reading to make sure I can keep all these groups straight, but don't you think this is a bit symbolic of the difficulty in figuring this out and maybe being a reflection of a deeply flawed foreign policy?
It's like a mouthful of bubble gum, you know.
Right.
But, you know, so essentially what they're saying is the CIA is fighting the CIA in this one group. Was, remember, we did a show 6 or 7 months ago where the CIA people were fighting the Pentagon people. So I guess they're making progress or regress.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, but they don't address the subject of who's protecting the American people, the American taxpayer. Who's protecting our national security? Of course, they argue, they don't say so often, see, our national interests. We're all over the place. Our national interests, which are usually corporate interests, or specialized interests in particular countries that serve our financial interests, too. That frequently is what we're doing. They don't seem to have American people first in mind.
We don't count. Here's something that jumped out at me from the Reuters article. It said the halt in assistance to the Free Syrian Army includes salaries, training, ammunition, and anti-tank missiles. And it jumped out at me the word salaries. So the American taxpayer is paying the salaries of Free Syrian Army fighters that are fighting to overthrow the sovereign government of Syria. Could you imagine some American who's been unemployed? You know, we've talked about the labor participation rate being historically low. He's unemployed. He can't get a job. Yet we're paying the salaries of these fighters overseas.
Now they're going to cut the salaries. I wonder if they have a payout period, you know. they'll get a bonus. But you know, when they were researching this a little bit, you know, a lot of times they will get information from anonymous sources and not let us, you know, tell exactly where it's coming from. And that was the case in the Reuters article because this is secret stuff. And Trump has emphasized this, that don't tell the enemy what we're going to do. This has to be secret. And besides, we can't do this. This is CIA stuff and it's covert and it's very important. But when you put that in comparison to what we don't get to hear that we have a right to hear is, you know, the Congress needs to know this. They have to finance it. They don't seem to ask all the questions they should. And also the American people, sometimes they don't care and sometimes they're not listening. But, you know, and I argue the case, congressional oversight. But there's nothing automatic. It's still back to philosophy. Because what if the people who are doing the oversight are more hawkish than the administration? You know, so let's say there's too much hawkishness in the administration and we want oversight. Yeah, then you get a guy like Paul Ryan and a bunch of others. Well, even Mike Pence, you know, they want more. So it's there seems to be very little restraint. And that, of course, is what we try to do here is stir the interests of the people to have an understanding, because I believe that is what eventually is reflected in what the members of Congress are thinking about, to put the pressure on them philosophically rather than thinking that we're going to have a magic oversight. But right now, I don't think on issues like this that this administration, because they said this stuff has to be secret. The enemy can't know. And they have a point there. You know, if we were in World War II, we don't want them to know when the invasions are occurring. That's completely different than these covert operations. I mean, everything the CIA do. I think it's amazing how it was secret and denial when all this started and you were some un-American conspiracy person. If you argued, why are you sending weapons to Syria? Now it's commonplace. Oh yeah, we did this, but it's covert, and we can't tell you exactly what's going on.
Yeah, you know, when I first read that there was this pause in the pipeline of weapons, I thought, well, maybe they're coming to their senses. And then I read on a little bit. We talked about this earlier, that the commander of the U.S. Central Command, Joseph Votel, told NBC News that we may be sending troops into Syria. We've talked about McMaster not wanting others to fight these battles. This may actually be not such good news if this is the case.
So, I mean, that's a toss-up, and we don't have the answer to that because if it's backing off, and since there is evidence that right now that Al-Qaeda has sort of been on the run, they're not having these tremendous victories. Of course, who's winning then? Assad and the Russians, which doesn't go well with, you know, Saudi Arabia and our so-called allies. They don't like that. So this is the key question, and that is, are they backing off because they want to have less involvement, or are they backing off for one reason? Change the strategy in going more toward what McMaster has written about as the admired intellectual and the kind of thing that, Graham and John McCain, they love, and Tom Cotton, they love this guy because he's an intellectual, but he's in no way going to be pushing, really backing off if the intent is to deal with ISIS. Even if they wanted to back off a little bit, the announced goal of the administration is to go any place, anytime, anywhere, as long as there's a terrorist suspect in the world. That's where we have to go. So I don't see how they can walk away. But then again, you know, it's up for grabs, and it may go in the direction of what we would like, backing off and let the dust settle and maybe accept the fact that the Syrian people, you know, the Syrian people still have a say in it. I don't think Assad could maintain the power that he has now if he didn't get some support from the Syrian people. You know, there are probably plenty that hate his guts, more, you know, in the East and in the West, but he's held on to this. So I think that this is still up for grabs, but what shouldn't be up for grabs, we should be more explicit, and hopefully there's enough influence in this country to have our administration be less imperialistic.
Yeah, and you know, our friend Doug Bandow had a good piece in Forbes that we noticed, and I mean, he makes some very good points. First of all, being this isn't our fight. He said that, ISIS is bad, but their goal was to establish a caliphate, a physical presence in eastern Iraq, and or eastern Syria and parts of Iraq. And he says, although ISIS is hostile to America, we know that, its principal enemies are the states in the Middle East, Shiite Iraq, Syria's Alawite government, the independent-minded Serbs, or Kurds, and Sunni monarchies. They're their real enemies. So why would we go over there and get involved and provoke them into becoming our enemies? But he said, you know, D.C. has no idea what it was getting into when it went in 14. And still committed to regime change, even though Assad was the greatest barrier to these Islamic extremists.
You know, we've pointed out that they've been following these policies for 15 years. They don't have any real successes. But the enemy still, including Trump involved with that, the real enemy is Iran. You know, they're going to nuke everybody. And yet, I think even Israel made a statement the other day that said, no, somebody from Israel, I don't know whether it was official, but he made a statement that Israel's probably better off because we know more about their nuclear program. But if you look at all the strategy from 9/11 onward, everything that we have done, to protect our friends over there and to win this war has been helpful to Iran. I mean, just think of what was going on in Iraq. But here, right now, this is a big battle in Syria, because if this continues to go and Assad, you know, has the victory, it's a victory for Russia and a victory for Iran. And this is something I think the neocons know, and they see that as much more sinister and terrible than some others, because I quite frankly think the Syrians are going to make this decision. But it seems like they don't accomplish what they want. They always fail, and they always help the countries they consider their worst enemies, and they continue to do it.
And what they won't say, what Washington won't say, is that Iran is our ally in Syria and Iraq. That's simply a fact. They're fighting the people that we say we're against. The liberation of East Mosul in Iraq was accomplished largely through the use of the Shia militias that are backed by Iran. But we don't want to talk about that, and we won't talk about it. We won't give them any credit. You know, which is silly.
But Daniel, isn't that just sort of halfway? Because we don't want Assad in there. Yeah. So they're on two sides of that issue. But that goes back to this statement I read
sides.
About the chaos and trying to sort these positions out.
Well, here's Paul Ryan. It's in our vital national interest. We must destroy ISIS in Syria. But you know, Doug Bandow makes a point. Why? The other countries are already doing it. They're on the ropes. They're on their last leg. And remember what Trump said about NATO. You guys got to step up and do more of the fighting. We can't do everything. So here's an example where the other guys have stepped up. They are fighting the fight for us. Why do we want to go poking at the hornet's nest?
That's the whole thing. But it seems like the opposition to our policy and even opposing Trump in the House is very strong, and they're very successful in what they're doing, and it's disturbing to say the least, because they're not going to pay much attention to the Doug Bandow's article today to point out these things, because they just buckled down and they're more determined than ever. If you point this out,
yeah. And here's, I mean, if we just have another second, one point that Doug has made, but we've made on the show many times. You know, this is all about, we've got to get ISIS out of Raqqa, their capital in Syria. That's why the Americans have got to go in. But Doug makes a point that we've made. If U.S. forces took Raqqa, then what? What comes next? Do we say, okay, thanks, guys, and we pull out? No, that's not going to happen. We're not going to hand it over to Assad because we're still essentially in favor of regime change. Who are we going to give it to? What's going to happen if we take it?
You know, I want to bring up a theoretical point in a way. You know, a lot of us who are opposed to our imperialistic foreign policy, we want to back off. because we're too strong, too tough, and we run the world. And we do a lot of that. But what about looking at it another way? And Trump makes it sort of alludes to this. He says, yeah, but we're sick and tired of it. We'll do this, but we're tired of paying for it. So we'll do it, but you have to pay for it. But what about if somebody looked at this and said that since we've had so many failures in our policy, maybe we have been duped into being the patsies, you know, for these other countries who want us to do these things. It's not our policy. We don't do it. But we go ahead and we march in and we get rid of this guy and this guy over here. And we do that. So we have become not so much the dominant feature and we run things. We pay the bills, which Trump recognizes. But maybe we've been the patsies and we've been fighting wars for other people. You know, it wasn't, did the American people, you know, when the American people were asked about, you know, the Persian Gulf War, and after 9/11, it was a little bit different. But the American people basically said, what do we have to do go over there for? And there's still a lot of that sentiment. But we go over there because, well, maybe those forces I'm alluding to, maybe they're in collision with the deep state. They get us to do things. But there's I think there's a possibility the practical results might be what I'm talking about, even though it might not have been their plan. But we end up fighting for the interests of other people, not our national interests.
Well, here's a great example. Think about Libya. France was the number one country. They were out there in front. We got to overthrow Gaddafi. We got to take care of it. The U.S., of course, came in and did the dirty work. What happened next? France went in and took all the oil wells, you know?
Well, that makes the point pretty good. No, that's for sure. No, I think this is an interesting change in the policy that's going on now that it's the evidence is out there that we have backed off in giving weapon support and maybe moral support to the Free Syrian Army. And what it means, maybe we're going to back off, which would be great, and I doubt. Or we may be changing strategy because the Hina strategy is different. There's a determination in this administration to fight terrorism. Of course, we're all against terrorism, but we ought to understand why there are terrorists out there. And if that is the case, are they going to be taking information and strategy from General McMaster's? If that is the case, we have him on record exactly what he wants. And it's the opposite of, you know, bomb and run, which isn't a good strategy. That was pretty ridiculous. But his strategy, if you're going to fight, do it the right way and don't depend on other troops. They're not reliable. You can't train them. That happened, and he wrote about Vietnam. It didn't work there. We can't do that. So if we think it's important, more troops, more troops, more troops. So we're at a critical impasse right now on foreign policy. What's going to happen in Syria? It may be symbolic of what's going to happen in the entire Middle East and even in a much broader sense. So that is the reason that we're going to be talking about this, and we'll be visiting with this again in not the too distant future, because it could change any day now on exactly what's happening. But once again, though, for our viewing audience, I want to thank you very much for tuning in today, and we thank you, and please come back soon.